Blog Talk Radio.
3-minute warning.
EFL, baby!
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be effective. Be radical. The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the attitude. Go, go, go. Be effective. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
Never know popcorn. You know what being down by 20 at halftime means? Sweet, diddly, jack, squat. Why? Because you can storm back. I know it, you know it, they don't. Tucked into their little beds tonight, they don't want to be haunted by you crossing that goal line. Well, it's time to give them a nightmare. And cross it.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Candid Frank, the CFL is the best football in the world show. I'm Frank, the true double blue Argo lifer Stanishi and the host of the show. Please welcome our co-hosts and friends of the show, Mike, the CFL is the best football in the world Townsend, and future owner Manasseh, harder to find than Waldo Giver Medine. Christopher, let's talk CFL and Lions Den Jones. Kelly, CFL know-it-all Bale. Bruce, the 13th man John Inch. Aaron, enough with the posting Macintosh. Gary, is it rock season yet, Groove? Stevie, the what else can I buy in Argo colors Richardson. Rob, the pistol J. Emery. Storm takes no Schmidt. Bill and Liam, the world travelers, and how? Serge, the CFL season ticket hoarder and collector, Duvidien. Derek, the bomber boot, Christopher. Kevin, Cheryl, and Cuddly Clan Kingsley. Kim, watch out, boys, Weaver. Debbie Riders, rule regardless, Wormspecker. Donna, I will admin ya, Gale. Aaron William, the meathead freelance. Jarrett, the roadie, and box J Boy Harris. Leanne, Leafs girl, what am I doing here, hockey? Steve, rock and roll Myers. Mike, Keeble Cable Cancellera. Reddit, retweet the show CFL every time. Aaron Russell, the organizer Nagy. Doug, look at the big lens and say cheese Lewis. Joe, I'm a like a to listen to the show Sardella. Danny E, likes caring for elderly. Salonen. Spike, I will nail you, Sutherland. Andrew, the graphic illustrator, Crump. Frank, the mascot, Kirby. Tony, I wish I could agree with you, Frank Dejeuner. Becca, I will deadlift you, Veludo. Tangerine, I have a dream queen. Annette and Paul, that's my beautiful son, Jason Pottinger. And finally, Randy, Captain Video Christinger.
One, two, three. We're the Argo Cheerleaders. And you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show. One, two,
we're the Argo Cheerleaders.
And you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show.
Yay! Go Frank! Go Frank! Go Frank! Go Frank!
For those of you that haven't figured it out yet, the Candid Frank Live Show. Candid Frank Live. That's right. CFL Live Show. Ah. Okay. That's for those of you that didn't figure that out until now. It was a tough one. You know, I searched hard and long for three letters that were important in what I was trying to do, and that is the CFL, and three words that could, resemble the CFL, because I couldn't call it the CFL show because it's the CFL show, because TSN has all the rights to that, and I don't want to tick them off. Well, too late, did that already.
It meant that, I wanted to get something that was CFL-oriented, and at the very early beginnings of this whole adventure, it was something that I ended up doing only because some people felt it was a good idea, and to them I'm grateful. That gratitude never ends. I haven't heard from Jason Sperling. He wanted to rebroadcast the show on his network, but I haven't heard from him. But we'll keep it the way it is. We're promoting him. I made a couple of changes. And the way you're listening to the show right now is part of how the changes work. Today is our 197th show. We have three more before we hit 200. And, of course, I could never have reached that lofty number without many others. And to them, thank you. They know who they are. And they will remind me who they are as well. Have fun doing this program. We have picked up people. We have lost people who have, basically found their way elsewhere, which is cool. But the most important thing
is each and every week we get on the air and we talk about the CFL from a non-commercial, non-league, non-TV perspective. In fact, some might suggest, egads, cut their throats. Make them stop talking, please. They talk too much like fans, and that's not good for business. Well, we really don't care about the business of the CFL, to be honest with you. Well, I don't. I shouldn't speak for my fellow hosts. By that I mean is what I care about is the guttural feelings of the inside of the heart and soul of the CFL fan and the fact that they love their team. I want to start with a story, but then I'll lose my order, so maybe I shouldn't. Unless they're the first up. Are they the first up in the East? No. Hamilton's first. And why are they there? Oh, I see. I understand why. Okay. All right. So I guess to review for this week some of the activity that's taken place in the CFL, of course, I don't think, just to prime the pump, if you will, for those who didn't listen on Monday and are listening on Wednesday. On Monday, we do the review of the games in the past week, which was week 5. Today, later on during the show, we'll be discussing what we think will be happening in week 6. But just a couple of things to talk about. Maybe we'll talk about these things later on down the road. The fact that Hamilton football fans are rejecting McMaster. You know, you can't say they're rejecting them in numbers because there are no numbers there. So how do you, I guess they are rejecting them in numbers, numbers that don't show up. Is it because they're unhappy with the fact that the stadium isn't built yet? Are the ones that went last year to the other university, Guelph, to watch Hamilton Tiger Cat football not enthused about going through it again? This time, Hamilton's not so far away. I mean, we had the good fortune, we Argo fans, we went to support our team on Labor Day, and it was an adventure coming home. It was like 35 minutes to get there, because I live basically in Mississauga, and I was picked up at Aaron Mills and the 401. And I don't think it took us more than 40 minutes to get to Guelph. But coming home, I think it was about 2 hours. And I could see how Hamilton fans wouldn't, you know, warm up to that kind of adventure to go watch a football game. I mean, you go, you leave your home, right? I mean, isn't this what we all do? We leave our home in the hopes that we get to where we want to go in a reasonable amount of time. What we go to see is reasonably satisfying, you know, win or lose, you know what I'm saying? And then we hope that, you know, now we're tired, you know, and now we want to go home. We've done what we wanted to do. We don't want it to take even, you know, three times as long to get home at that point. So I think it's fair to say that that can be a turnoff for Hamilton football fans. And you know, it was a turnoff for me. If I ever even thought of going to watch a game there again, there would have been a lot of heavy thoughts based on the return part of the trip. And it was terrible. It was totally terrible. There's no other way to describe it. But anyway, this year, the team is forced to play it at a different university. Fortunately, this time a local university, McMaster, which is in Hamilton. Great football university. I mean, one of the best in the country. So it's not like it doesn't know how to, you know, host football fans. It knows quite well. You know, they have a great team, so they understand the game of football. But now it seems even less Hamilton fans are interested in going to the game. In fact, the seats aren't disguised as people, they're disguised as seats. Maybe they should do what they do in Edmonton and make them all different colors so you can't really tell the seats are empty. So, you know, it's too bad. It's too bad. Hamilton deserves better. It's something that you know, I just don't think it's right. But, you know, what are you going to do? Again, we've talked about who's at fault. Is anybody at fault? Well, at face value, how it's been handled, how these games being cut off has been the biggest issue, I think, with CFL fans, in particular Hamilton fans. And anyway, but let's get to the part of the game where Hamilton, of course, the last game, as we discussed last week, this kid Lefevre, hello, 361 yards. Oh, he scored, you know, rushed for 109 yards. Hamilton's got a goodie. This great quarterback. I don't think this is a fluke. He's big, he's strong, he's fast. Goodness, I mean, he can see over the front line. And apparently,
at least against Ottawa. And I know people are going to poo-poo how Hamilton did against Ottawa. But, you know, they beat my team, notably in Ottawa, the first game of the season, the first game ever for the Ottawa Redblacks in their spanking brand-new stadium. But the point is they beat the Argos at home. They've made a battle of it with teams. And, you know, Hamilton's quarterback, this young guy, ripped him to shreds. Totally ripped him to shreds. And Ottawa, I talked also about the fact that the receiving corps in Ottawa needs to really come up big. I think, to be honest, whatever they're getting in passing is all Burris. And he is a guy who generates numbers. He's always generated numbers. From his rookie year, I think he's in his first handful of games, he threw for over 2,200 yards, I think. Ricky Ray and any of these great quarterbacks and even of these great young quarterbacks, this is what Burris does. He gains yards. But believe it or not, I just don't think he has the receivers yet that have been able to show, what Ottawa can do. But that is what it is. And in Montreal, oh my gosh. All right. I think Montreal fans right now are starting to spin a little bit. They're bringing back Don Matthews. Now, let's remember, Don Matthews is one of the greatest head coaches of all time. Of all time. This guy is a master. In fact, he's given credit for Christopher Jones. Sorry, Chris Jones. See, you got me doing it with him too. And I'm talking not of our compadre here on the show. I'm talking about Chris Jones, the former defensive coordinator for the Toronto Argos, that this year is the new coach of the Edmonton Eskimos. And his ability to coach, many give Don Matthews credit. John Huffnagel comes from that school as well. Milanovic. So many great CFL coaches learned first from Don Matthews. The aggressive nature of this man is unparalleled, I should say. It is heralded. We all know how great a head coach this guy is and has been. And you know what? Montreal's bringing him in as a consultant. Okay. All right. Well, let's see what he can do. Some in Montreal think that it's just a gimmick move. I'm a little speculating. Part of me sort of kind of agrees with him. I'm really not sure. Let's see what he does. I don't know what he can offer. And what worries me is that, not worries me, but what concerns me if I'm a Montreal fan, this team looks like it might be ready to be blown up. The reason I say that is you don't throw a few more chefs in a kitchen where stuff's not cooking quite right. It ain't possible. I don't care what anybody says, man. More hands on the wheel don't make it move the right direction, baby. It makes it more complicated because you get two of them pulling in two different directions. And because you have five or six sets of hands on the wheel, it just ain't going to turn the way it needs to turn. Slow and steady, baby. That's what the West does. The East continues to be volatile, which is, I think, a direct reason for why the Eastern teams are ineffective over the long haul. And this year, I think we're seeing it in spades. Some bad luck might also be a part of it. And, of course, throwing in an expansion team, folks, let's be realistic a little bit too. But still, the inconsistency and the volatile nature of the Eastern Division, hopefully it'll settle down, and so will the fact that they are right now four of the worst teams in the CFL at this point. They rank 9, 8, 7, and 6. The first five are in the West. So is this a move by Montreal to try and get the ship back on track, second opinion maybe? If it's that kind of stuff, it could help. But if it's show us what to do, it could be a tough year for Montreal. So here I am. I'm talking on the show, moving on, of course, now to the Argonauts. Here I was on the show talking about, with what's going on with Ricky. He's still churning out some yardage. He's also churning out a few interceptions, fumbles. A lot of the stuff, let's face it, that leads to losses. This isn't the kind of You know, these aren't the statistics that support winning. They're clearly statistics that mean losing. And the Argos have done a lot of losing recently. They're in deep trouble. The only good news for them is that they've got company. As I just said a moment earlier, they've got a lot of company in the toilet. Let's just hope that they can grab a hold of that ring and pull themselves out of the toilet, because it really doesn't look good for the Argos with these injuries. Hopefully the key players will start to come back, and when they do start to come back, this team will be the kind of team they're more capable of, and also help to raise the profile of the Eastern Division, along with Hamilton. As I spoke earlier, they've got a great quarterback. I think Hamilton's going to go in the right direction. I think Hamilton's, they'll be doing well from here on in, I think. I think Lefevre has proven that he can handle it, and I just don't see that head coach, Austin, not bringing the East back up. So, let's talk about the West. All right. So, British Columbia Lions, Travis Lule's practicing. Calgary Stampeders, some guy Mallett is going to be a running back for them. Somebody on the show, I think, mentioned it. Oh, don't worry. He'll remind us when we're on the show that he mentioned it. So, he'll tell us who he is. Christopher. So, Hugh Charles, not a bad experiment in the happening. The Edmonton Eskimos, I believe that this team has the mental fortitude to overcome a loss, something they couldn't do last year. And I believe somebody took the panic button away from the GM. I don't think he has the panic button anymore. I think they've hidden it from him. This is going to be a slow and steady, the way it should be. And the way the Western teams have done for years, they've been slow and steady. Their lineups are set. They know who's going to be playing for them, who the key players are. And if they don't have those key players for whatever reason, leaving the team traded, too expensive, released, they always have somebody in line to take over. This is something that the Argos do as well, I think. It just doesn't show when you have a complete decimation of the team like they've had. And the West, Edmonton Eskimos, will, in fact, I think they'll bounce back. Chris Jones is a very intense fella, and I think his energy level will be enough to ensure that the players maintain the level of energy they've had. They did not lose badly. In fact, some suggest a coaching error might have been the contributor to the mistake, which led to their losing the game. But they'll bounce back. Now, Saskatchewan, Ryderville. Giant sigh of relief this past week. Why? Oh, we beat the Argos. Well, you know what? They did a great job doing it. They thumped our butts. They basically handed our hearts in our hand while we died on the field. But, minus Corey Sheets, they finally found themselves, let's face it, a running back, at least in one game, Will Ford. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers, of course, they had a great bounce-back game against the BC Lions. And, as far as I'm concerned, this is another team that's for real, but I believe this is a candidate to take over. If they make the playoffs, it'll be because they cross over into the East. If Winnipeg makes it, that's what'll happen. And that wouldn't make their coach unhappy. That wouldn't make a lot of the ex-Argo players and Eastern Division players that are on that team, that wouldn't make them unhappy. Now, last show, we didn't get a chance to talk about the assistant coaches this year that have made it as head coaches and have started their year in quite a good way. I included also Tom Higgins, who, of course, was the master of officiating here at the CFL. And so I included him, so that's four coaches, four assistant coaches, Rick Campbell, Michael Shea, Chris Jones, and, of course, Tom Higgins. And let's not forget also the quarterbacks. How are the quarterbacks who were understudies last year that have changed teams, how are they doing this year? And how are the quarterbacks that were understudies last year and the number one quarterbacks left to go elsewhere, draft otherwise, how are they doing? So, yeah. that's what we'll talk about. Again, the scores from last week were, of course, the Stamps over their provincial rivals, the Eskimos 26-22, the Bombers 23-26 over the Lions, Tiger Cats 33-23 over the Red Blacks, and the Riders 37-9 thumping mercilessly, without any pity, the Toronto Argonauts. Okay, when we come back, we're going to join our guys, and we're going to talk guys and gals. Hopefully there's gals again tonight. After we take this short break, guys, I think tonight maybe we'll do a different one. This is one of the things that I like playing. It has nothing to do with football, but it's Diane Nyad, and it's just like an inspirational thing. And she, at her age, swam across. Well, here.
After four failed attempts, 64-year-old Canadian endurance swimmer Diane Nyad is the first to swim across the 160-kilometer Florida Strait from Cuba to Florida in just 53 hours without a shark tank. Right after reaching the shore of Key West, this is what our hero Diane Nyad had to say, swollen lips and all.
I got three messages. One is, we should never, ever give up.
Okay.
Two is, you're never too old to chase your dreams.
That's right.
Amen.
Three is, it looks like a solitary sport, but it's a team.
Bring your passion. Bring your pride. Together we will stand. It's one united, unstoppable, undeniable, home field advantage. We are the Eskimo Empire.
Are you in?
I'm in. And Mr. Let's see. I remember this number. This is Kelly Bale.
How you doing?
Good to hear from you, buddy. Welcome to the program.
Thanks,
again.
Man. Yes,
and also here tonight, 13th man, Bruce John Inch.
Oski wee wee, gentlemen.
And, of course, listen, if we're going to get our Schmidt together, this is the guy we got to have on the show.
What up, Stevie?
Oski wee wee.
Yeah, that's what you're going to call. All right. We also have, of course, the other CJ, Christopher Jones.
Greetings all.
Greetings.
And I'm going to have to get help with the next two numbers. Who else is here?
Tammy.
Oh, Tammy, welcome back. And?
Hi, Frank.
Mike. Hi. In Pittsburgh, how's it going?
Hey, welcome back, yes. Mike from Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's nice to have you on. I'm surprised you called back. We thought we answered every possible question you needed answered, but apparently you're interested in what's going on in the CFL, and we're glad to have you as a part of the program.
Thank you very much. I've really concentrated the last few weeks. I handicapped the games, and from what I've noticed, all these under games, the lack of scoring here in the last couple weeks has been amazing. I'm just waiting for these offenses to start putting some points on the board. I think this might be the week the offenses kind of adjust to the defensive that's been dominating so far.
Usually, you know, in the opening of a season, usually it's the offenses that get the head start. This is kind of an enigma almost. You know what I mean? Like, defenses need time. They require more organization than the offense, is what I'm trying to say. And they take a lot more school time than the offense does. But it's kind of peculiar here that the defenses are having their way with the offense.
Yeah. And I know the Ottawa-Hamilton game, before that game went over, I think there were seven straight games that went under the total as far as handicapping.
Oh, okay. See, I'm not a gambler, so you're adding a perspective, and we'll let everybody. Well, anybody else in here a big gambler on the CFL?
No, mostly pick 'em. Not so much handicapping or point spread or anything like that.
No.
Yeah. So you're not preaching to the choir here. You're preaching to the kindergarten class.
We all like to make our predictions, but not so much for money necessarily.
Or handicapping. The only one that likes to get down really a lot is Storm. Storm loves to get down to the, you know, 0.3 points, you know, 0.5 points.
Yeah, but I don't gamble those. So, I mean, I just like to, you know, pick the score, and when it comes up or close to, then I feel happy.
Maybe what I can do for you guys is, since I've really been in it the last few weeks, I can give some picks and give maybe add that on to the show from a betting perspective.
Yeah, well, you can, and you know what? We have tonight, we do our predictions. And just, Mike, to get you, you know, on stream on what we try to do, the most important thing we try to do on Monday nights is review the previous week's games. So this past Monday, we talk about, you know, the results, why we think the results worked out the way they did. That's where you can talk about how surprising the results are. On Wednesday, we do our predictions. And, of course, there are other subjects around the CFL that we talk about. But I'm just saying, when it comes to talking about games, today we talk about what's happening in Week 6. Mondays we talk about what happened Week 5 and every other week before. So, yeah, you're more than welcome to do that when we go around and do our round of picks. You're more than welcome to do that. It's a free program, you know. Just don't try promoting any kind of betting groups or anything like that, because I don't have any sponsors, and it would really hurt me to know that we have a sponsor and I'm not getting paid.
No, I strictly I strictly do all mine online. I'm in affiliation with anyone else.
Mike from Pittsburgh is going to be our handicapper from now on, and you know, we'll be able to. And then maybe we can add something else here where we can talk about why the handicap is what it is, and you can help us learn about not that I'm that big into gambling. I have a hard time remembering to put my picks in the pool, for goodness sake. That's how big a gambler I am. I mean, I just love the conversation about the game, but that doesn't mean that just because you know, I love doing that means we can't do anything else. So we do have an open book here as to what we'll do on the program, and you're more than welcome to be fitted in a way that makes you most comfortable, Mike, okay?
Sure.
Okay. All right, so I mentioned a couple of things at the beginning of the program, and if we could start with, the quarterbacks that were backups last year, and can we discuss maybe where we think they're at right now, especially with what LaFever did? He was a backup last year, and it's fair to say he was going to be the backup again this year. And now with the injury to Caleros going into the 6-day version of away from the team, he now has an opportunity. In the first game that he had his opportunity, he was lights out. He was fantastic. Another great young quarterback showing us a lot of skill. But I think the biggest difference with this guy is that he's big and mobile. He's almost an NFL quarterback. How about you first, Kelly? What do you think of this quarterback, Dan LaFever?
Definitely. He impressed last week, but I think you have to somewhat put it into the category of it's only one game. And, you know, he impressed in 2013 in one game as well. So I really think that, you know, we can't get too far ahead of ourselves on the fever yet. Definitely happy for Hamilton fans who, you know, were treated to a wicked game by him. And, it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, he can come back after this win and see if he can string two or three together and maybe even better than that.
Well, let's talk to a Ticat fan. Bruce?
Well, you know. Hey, Oski, we Kelly hit the nail right on the head, man. Let's see what he does tomorrow night, and we'll go from there. Because I'm pumped up, but I've had my pumps deflated too many times.
You've had premature deflation, have you?
I think, you know, he as long as that, you know what though, you guys all have to admit, our offensive line has stepped it up in the last couple games.
Yeah.
So that's given the quarterbacks enough time to get rid of that ball, to make the plays, to run the plays and everything else. So I think that has a lot to do with Dan's success last week.
I don't think you're giving him enough credit.
No,
I think
I'm not saying our offensive line has really stepped up, you know.
But there is a symbiotic relationship between a quarterback and his front line. The front line, all they have to do is give him enough time for him to get a plan together, you know, that immediate plan. Like, he goes into the huddle and tells everybody what he's going to do, but then there's also the audibles, and then there's also, you know, how the defense lines up and all that stuff, you know.
The point is,
this guy's mobility is one heck of an asset. One heck of an asset. And he's hard to bring down.
He is.
And, you know,
he's a big guy.
You know,
he's tall.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he didn't get to be, he didn't seem shaken up at any point the other night.
No.
He didn't let the emotions get to him. But I like to bring one thing up, even before you brought this up in your pre-show. I think McMaster, Frank, did one hell of a job.
I
didn't see too many empty seats there. And I think the reason why people saw empty seats is they forget there must have been 500 people at the end zone drinking beer and smoking cigarettes.
Okay.
You are not allowed to bring a beer up into the stands at Mac. You have to keep it down.
I stand corrected.
I couldn't believe the amount of people, and I was very, very pleased going there.
I
thought I'd be disappointed because I go there all the time for practices and whatnot. But you know what? Thumbs up to McMaster.
I wasn't referring to anything being wrong with McMaster. My issue is there may be a few frustrated CFL fans or Hamilton fans that are like, you know,
you are correct in that in stating,
you know,
that, because we still had seats being sold the day of the game. So.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Well,
I know a buddy. I sat him down.
He
got four tickets
the
day of the game.
You can't blame them.
Well,
you know.
No, you can't. You can't. But in the meantime, you know, it's not.
It'll all work out in the end.
And we're
it'll
back
all
in
work
Hamilton.
Out in the end.
I'm just
it'll all work
back
out
in the hammer.
Yep, it'll all work in the end.
Absolutely.
All right. So, how about you, Mr. Schmidt, young quarterback? I mean, you have one on your team, but I don't want to talk about yours yet. We'll talk about him in one of the next picks, if you will. Lefevre, does he fit into the young stud category in your mind, or is it just a one-off?
No, absolutely. He's going to finish the season, and Claros won't play another game. Plain and simple.
Oh, well, that's pretty simple, yeah, okay.
And that's, you know, I was saying that before Claros got hurt, so just want to put that...
I hear you.
And, they played good, and it's great. Like, he's a big quarterback, and... he did great last week, but I agree with some of the other people too. It's only a one-game thing, and you just have to see what happens, I guess, with him. But, you know, I have faith with him, and I think he'll finish strong through the whole season, and I think nobody else will get a chance to play.
Well, that'll be great for Hamilton, because Caleros is a good quarterback, and if he's going to be a better quarterback than Caleros, he's not going to be that bad. How about you, Christopher Jones? We lost Mike again.
Well, Mike's gone.
Lefevre,
he played an outstanding, spectacular game. There's no question about that. He was,
is he for real? You think he's for
he's
real?
He's the star for this week.
Oh, okay.
Is he for real? You got to string a few of those games together before we're going to start jumping up and down and screaming his name from the rafters.
But did you see, I guess my question is, does he have the tools? Do you think he has the tools?
Show me a quarterback in the CFL that doesn't have the tools to do it. They wouldn't be in the CFL if they did not.
All right.
Okay? They're all here because of a reason. Somebody has seen them do something spectacular and put them into a contract to bring them to the CFL.
There
Every
you go.
Quarterback should be able to perform here. And at
right.
a high level, they are professionals. They are of the few in the world that can play that position. I mean, let's face it. If they're not here, if they're not in the NFL, they're in the CFL. It goes downward from there. So this is the, you know, the second stop on the greatness train, shall
but
we say.
But what is it?
So yeah, he's
all
for real. It's just can he continue it.
But he's young and he hasn't established himself yet.
But
that's all.
Hamilton hasn't performed this year. You can't blame what's happened on the field or the final results of Hamilton on the quarterback of any nature in Hamilton. I mean, Caleros is hurt because his team wasn't playing for him. I mean, he was on the carpet more than he was standing upright, and Bruce, you can't argue that one, can you? Seriously, I mean, Caleros was sacked how many times in the game?
His mic is off. He can't answer to you. He can't answer to you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm giving you. I'm giving you the floor.
The Hamilton team has to step up and play. They stepped up and played for Lafleur last week.
All right.
Does he continue? That's the question more than if the quarterback can continue.
Okay. Tammy, did I just wake up your mic? I'm not sure if it's you or Mike. But is that you, Tammy, that I just,
I'm here.
Mic I just opened?
Yeah, I'm
okay,
here.
That was you. I opened.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, Frank.
Okay. Hey, Tammy. All right. So what do you think of Lafleur?
Well, I think it's amazing the way he can – his mobility. But what concerns me a little bit is that – watching the game, I thought he ran a couple times when he didn't have to. I think he probably nerves, maybe, you know, like there was
didn't
a few times
some,
he didn't
play
have
quick
to
enough.
Run.
Yeah, he didn't
Pardon
see something
me?
Quick enough. He didn't see something
yeah,
quick enough.
Yeah, but I don't think that's detrimental. I think that's just,
no.
you know, a
Youth.
Beginning quarterback.
Youth.
But he, you know, and then I wondered how much protection Hamilton's actually giving him, making him run like that. Because the more he runs, the more he puts himself at risk of injury, and they don't want a great new quarterback, if he continues on, to be injured.
There you go.
Doesn't the head coach clench his fist every time that quarterback runs?
Well, they have a thing called a hook slide, but he didn't do that many hook slides. He did go for more yards, more that he didn't need. And you're right. That he puts himself at risk. But one thing about these young guys, it's just like, you know, when I've gotten older now. I fall down. I don't get up as easy as I used to.
Right.
You know what I mean? When I was younger, I could be a fool and do stupid things, and I would just dust myself off, get up, and carry on. There's a reason why experience is good, because at some point, youth can lie to you and cheat you. So you know, sometimes you got to play with experience, right? And that's what Lafleur needs. You're probably right, Mike.
Yeah, here's my issue with Lafleur. He has to show me more. He beat an expansion, Ottawa team that was coming off a win, at home, their biggest game. And I think Hamilton caught Ottawa in a letdown spot. And they're the only one ended up winning by 10. So it's not like they really put him away. I think this week, against Winnipeg, is going to be more of a true test for Lafleur to see how good of a quarterback and how much he's really progressed.
Yeah, 100% right. And each game, but I think we all agree that he hasn't proven that he's a great quarterback yet. He's just proven that he deserves another start, right?
Yes, I do agree with that.
Right. Okay, Mike, how about Mike Townsend now? That was Mike from Pittsburgh. This is Mike from Michigan.
Hey, what's going on, y'all? How y'all doing?
And welcome to the show, Mike. You weren't on when we started.
Yeah, I happened to look up, and I looked at the time, man. I was like, oh, my gosh, my favorite show is on. I'm not even on there. Come on, now. It's not even going to be the same without me tonight, so let me hurry up and call. But,
where did his ego come from all of a sudden?
I got to play in the wisecracker now and then, Frank.
Well, I got you. I feel you. All right.
I got to
give us your take on Mr. Lafleur.
Well, like I stated before, Lafleur, he's a winning quarterback, man. He hasn't proved himself in the CFL, but if you look at his college record from the time he started playing college ball to when he finished, he has an amazing win-loss record. So, man, he's just going to get better. And they beat the Bombers tomorrow night. You might as well say, man, it's going to be Lafleur's time to take the helm, because I don't think Caleros is going to be ready anytime soon. And like I said Monday, if Lafleur takes them to the playoffs, even takes them to the playoffs, they don't go to the Grey Cup.
Okay.
He will be their starter next year. He's he was just waiting his turn.
Let's go to Drew Willey now. He had a great start to his season. He looked amazing against the Argonauts. But recently, it seems the defenses are figuring him out. Is it now teams now have a bit more of a book on him, on how he is as a CFL quarterback? Is that why he's slowed down a little bit? Because he isn't as impressive. Or is it just plainly he hasn't played the Argos 4 weeks in a row?
Well, I think it's maybe a little bit of both.
Okay.
We all know Willie is a good quarterback. I think what they're doing now, a lot of defenses and the defensive coaches are throwing defensive schemes to kind of mix them up a little bit. And it might be throwing his offensive rhythm off a little bit. But this is where the offensive coach of the Blue Bombers got to go ahead and try to fix his offensive scheme. You know what I'm saying? Whatever defense does, he has to come back and try to, you know, outsmart them. So it's a little bit of both, but I'm not really too much concerned about the Blue Bombers at this point. Now, if they end up losing two or three straight, then we have a little cause for to ring the panic button. But right now, I think they're okay. I think they're okay.
Yeah, and this year's a good year to be in the West because I think it's starting to look more and more, unless things change drastically, like they did in Hamilton last week and like they did in Toronto 1 week. You know, where teams look like they might be a 500 at least, because it's going to have to be at least 500 with how many games the East plays against the West. Literally, the West can eliminate the East from the playoffs. So, Mike, I don't know what the odds of that are, but I'm sure you'll educate me. And I mean Mike from Pittsburgh.
You're talking
Drew Willie.
About
Drew
this,
Willie.
This coming. This... Yeah, yeah.
What do you think of What do you think of his long-term good? He had a great game and now he's living off it, or do you think there's some real, true greatness in there?
No, I got to see more. You know, I to be honest with you, I haven't seen enough of him to give you a good review. But from what I have seen, I want to see more until I'm going to declare him starting. One of the best quarterbacks in the league. Yeah.
If there was one. All right, then let me put it this way. What does he do well? What doesn't he do well? Oh, Mike? Oops, I lost Mike. Okay, we'll go with Tammy. What do you think of Willie? You're a Winnipeg fan. What do you think of Willie? Is he for real?
I think with time, yeah, I think so. He really can. His long passes are very good. I think they're better than the short ones.
Okay.
He seems to, although we've missed the end zone a few hundred times, but it would be nice with a few more touchdowns. But I think what he needs to do with Hamilton, I know that they're. He needs to, what I noticed last week is he was staying in the pocket a lot.
You think he has to move out of it more?
Yeah. At the beginning, I thought he was more athletic, like more, would move around more. He was moving around more, and I noticed last week he did not. So I think he can't take it for granted that his O-line's going to hold them. I think he's taking a little too long.
Right. And then hurrying himself when it comes to make a pass.
Sure, because that happened a couple times with the, call it, Frank, the short, when they just toss it to the guy in front of them.
Oh,
you know?
Forward lateral? The forward lateral?
Yeah, I hate that.
Oh, okay. When he pitches it.
It's been very unsuccessful, but I think he is for real. And we do have a couple good backups. I think they should give Brom a little playing time, but I don't think he's, comparable to Drew Willie. But I think people really seriously underestimated him, and I think he's got a lot more to show.
Brom or Willie?
Willie.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, he's still young, right? And I was just wondering, because last year when we did during the show, we were noticing how these backup quarterbacks were taking over the league by storm, right? Well, now they've got the ball, and I just wanted to hear how the fans thought about how they're playing. I didn't talk about Willie, so I'll talk about Willie, and then we'll go to Christopher Jones. Willie, as far as I'm concerned, is this guy's for real. The only question is going to be whether the team around him will be as good as he is. Right now, Winnipeg has made a lot of improvements. A lot of the holes that they had last year have been filled, whether it be in the offensive line or the offensive scheme, receivers and such. Because there is a symbiotic relationship between, the front line, the quarterback, and the receivers.
Receivers can make quarterbacks look good. Quarterbacks can make receivers look good. Front lines can make quarterbacks look good. And receivers can make front lines look good. It's all about the relationship between the three and how they make enough time for each other or use up enough time for each other so that they can all be successful. Willie right now is, oh gosh, I can't believe how many young CFL quarterbacks look as good as the batch that do today. And Willie, when the season started, he looked like a big surprise. But, you know, many people said he shouldn't be a surprise. He's a great quarterback, and he's just proving that he's a great quarterback. How do you feel about Willie Christopher Jones?
Well, Willie's, I mean, he's showing his own. I mean, it goes back to my other comment, is that all the quarterbacks that are in the league have a certain level of skills and talent, or they wouldn't be here. Willie is doing really well. I think Winnipeg as a team as a whole is playing above their pay grade, and I think that that is coming crashing back down to the earth really soon. And that's just my opinion on Winnipeg at this point in time. They're playing extremely well football. I just don't think they can continue it at that pace. They can't. Edmonton will. So there's my position on it.
Right. And you having said that, are you saying also that the battles between them being Winnipeg and Edmonton for the fourth playoff spot in the West?
No.
Oh, okay.
Winnipeg's going to get the fourth playoff spot and cross over to the East. I have no doubt in my mind about that. I think Edmonton is going to be placed third. Just as I've always said, the battle for the top is between BC and Calgary. Riders aren't going to make the playoffs. They're coming in last in the West.
All right. Well, I just was curious
how Willie
was more of a Willie-related question, but that's fine. Okay. How about you, Storm?
Well,
what do you think of Willie?
I'll say one thing first. If Saskatchewan ends up in last place, I will go to church. I want them to, but I don't think it's going to happen. But anyways, Willie, he reminds me of two quarterbacks in this league, the Fever and Riley. And you can't put the Fever in that position yet because he doesn't have the experience that Willie has, and especially Riley. But I don't know. I put those three quarterbacks in the same position. Out of all the quarterbacks in the whole league, they love to run and don't hook slide. They just, especially Riley, right? But anyways, Willie, it's not like I don't like Winnipeg. It's just like you said, Frank. There, it's what the team is ahead of them, right? You know, mm-hmm. You have to have every ingredient come together, right?
Well, for sure.
I don't believe that's there yet, but it could be, and I could be wrong. I've been wrong twice in my life, but you know, other than that,
there are tendencies that his teammates have to figure out. You know, not only do defenses have to figure out quarterbacks, his own team has to figure them out. So you know, there's tendencies that the group has to get together. What's best? Like, how much time does he really need? You know, all those silly little things. Because if you're watching the games this week, the offensive lines were allowing guys in to the pocket, but they were allowing them in there only after the quarterback had a split-second chance to toss the ball where he wanted to. You know, and that's the thing I noticed watching all the football games. It's all about timing. And, you know, it's not about a second. It's not about 2 seconds. It's about a split second. A split second can make a big difference for the quarterback. So, you know, we're not talking here about, minutes here. We're talking about parts of seconds, really. Mr. Inch, how do you feel about Drew Willie?
I think he's proven himself. He's played, what, 4 games now? He's lost 1?
Yep.
I think, you know, how many games do you have to keep winning before you prove yourself? You know, like Lefevre, he still has some proving to do. Like I said, let's see what he does tomorrow night. But Willie took it from the start, and he's doing good.
Yeah, well, Willie has earned the next start, and Lefevre has earned the next start.
Absolutely.
And Willie's ahead by, you know, 4 games, you know, having proven himself that much. Just like Riley last year, you know, nobody when the season started, you know, thought that he was going to be the starting quarterback. Well, I shouldn't say nobody. That's not right.
You did.
But anyway, well, we'll stay on Willie, and then we'll get to other quarterbacks.
Okay.
That's my take. So.
Yeah. And how about you, Kelly, on Willie? I mean, you had him last year.
You know, one thing that I got to say about Willie that nobody's touched on is he has done a fantastic job of elevating his game to that starter role that he's earned this year with the Bombers. He was an adequate backup, had good numbers through 2012 with the Riders and improved upon them in 2013 with the Riders. Saw spot duty in games and also actually started about four games for the Riders while Durant was out for injury. So, I think as far as 2014 and Drew Willie goes, I think he's, like Christopher Jones said, playing out of his head a little bit, as well as that whole Bomber team is. But I think particularly Drew is playing a little bit out of his head. He kind of seems to me like a 95 to 105 kind of quarterback rating type of guy for his career. I can't see him really exceeding 105 for his career. So you're going to see, maybe even like a Kevin Glenn type of quarterback where, you know, he doesn't necessarily have flash or do the most, spectacular things all the time, but he's going to, be a consistent guy who can, complete a high percentage of passes and throw more touchdowns than interceptions. So that's where I stand.
All right. Okay, when we come back, we'll continue with quarterbacks. There's another guy that he has really shown Mr. Schmidt he belongs. Bo Levi Mitchell, when we come back, we'll talk about him.
Did you know in Canada we have no fair catch rule?
No fair catch?
No fair catch.
Holy mackerel.
Hopefully there's Ashman on the side with the medics.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
No fair catch? Injuries? I see some pain.
That could be kind of dangerous. I believe somebody would get killed like that.
You guys like it violent up there, huh?
CFL. We play by our own rules. Why do you think it takes you guys four downs to get 10 yards? We only need three up there.
Because we always make mistakes.
We're just kind of slow, laid back. Got to get an extra down in before we can get our 10 yards.
They give us one just in case.
I love four downs. First down, second down, third down, fourth down.
You're saying you're better than us.
They want the game to go slower, I guess, for the commercials.
Y'all are obviously better. Must be the long winters, maybe.
They have longer legs. Are they faster? Is there, better gene pool?
In the CFL, the play clock is 20 seconds rather than 40.
20-second play clock. Quicker tempo.
Well, they better be a lot smarter men on the field then.
Yeah, man, the respiratory system needs to be in good shape.
That's pretty quick.
That doesn't sound very fair. It doesn't give them enough time. They barely have time to do it here.
God forbid there's a different defense.
Oh, boy, that's fast. I mean, you got to get it done.
I say 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I get them an extra 10 seconds.
20 seconds, that would keep things moving and grooving.
You know, in the Canadian Football League, we have 12 guys instead of 11. What do you think, an extra man out there?
Of course. They all look good in their pants.
Ooh. Can I take him home?
I think you can never have too many men in tight pants on a football field.
And we have unlimited motion in our backfield.
Wow.
Wow.
It's
a whole new realm of possibilities, huh?
And they're ready to go again in 20 seconds.
Where is this again?
That's interesting. I may have to rest up a little. CFL, I got to watch it. Go Canada.
There we go. Okay. So like I said, we'll go Bo Levi Mitchell, and we'll start with Kelly Bill.
I think this is the best of the bunch, guys. One distinct advantage that I see for BLM is that he was a UDFA out of college, but he wasn't a UDFA like Drew Willie was, who signed for Baltimore, New York, San Diego, quite a few NFL teams. Even LeFevre had his share, the Bears, the Jaguars. One distinct advantage that Mitchell has is he was a UDFA right to the Calgary Stampeders. So he went from the American game right into the CFL. And he's been practicing this way for 4 years now. I think that's a distinct advantage, and I think it shows in his game. One thing I see about him is poise under center, and that's one thing. And I was talking about QB rating. You know, he's 5 to 10 points better than Drew Willey so far in his career, and I see him making, you know, superstar type plays every once in a while. So I like him. I think he's the best of the bunch out of the young guys. Maybe not, you know, better than Kevin Glenn today or whatever, some of the veterans that were backups last year. But yeah, that's my take on him.
Yeah,
I like him running with the ball, too. I really like his legs and his vision. He seems to be able to tuck and knows when to hook slide.
And he really doesn't do it too much. He really has it under good. You know, he does it in what looks like a strategic manner as opposed to a desperate manner.
Exactly. Yeah, he's not like Durant who, you know, finds himself in a guy's arms and has to spin out or whatever. He does it, like you say, in a strategic manner, not a desperation type thing.
All right. How about you, Mr. Bruce John Inch?
Who are we talking about, buddy? I had you on mute. Sorry.
Shh.
No, because...
Shh. Bo Levi Mitchell.
No comment. Really haven't followed him, so...
All right.
Okay.
Let's go to a guy from a guy who hasn't followed him to a guy who's prayed for him. Yeah, I'm talking about you, Schmitty.
Oh, okay. I'm not going to church, but anyways.
Oh, yes, you are.
No. Anyways.
You already made a deal with God. You made a deal with God. You're going to have to live and abide by it. We all heard it, and I'll replay it week to week to make sure. Make sure.
You can't make a deal with yourself. But anyways, I don't know. The last 2 weeks, basically the whole season so far in the four games, it's all been basically defense. But, yeah, he's made some great plays, absolutely. Him over
Well, he's
Tate,
done enough.
No, he's
done
no
enough.
Comparison over Tate. I mean, you know what? Word out of Calgary from some of my friends is Tate's going to be traded, and he's going to the East. But that's just my little thing. Anyways, I won't say any more about that.
Montreal?
Yeah, I like his movement. I like his running ability and the hook slides and all that kind of stuff. He doesn't take a brutal hit like Riley does or Lefevre or Willie or sort of thing like that. But they got to pick up the offense. I mean, yeah, we're 4-0, but still, it could easily be 1-3, right? So
or 2-2.
You gotta pick, or 2-2 or 0-4 or, you know.
No. Never 0-4 because that would be worse than the guys in the East.
Well, no, they played great against Montreal, guaranteed.
There you go.
They played great against
there you
Montreal.
Go.
But, I mean,
least,
that's the first game, first game of the season, though. So, you know.
Okay.
And
so, Bo Levi Mitchell's a great quarterback. Yes or no?
I wouldn't say great.
Will he be a great quarterback? Do you see greatness in him?
Oh, absolutely. Diddly-doddly.
There you go.
I see great, but it takes time. Like other people say with other quarterbacks, it takes time for
Well, you don't do it
happen,
in one game.
But
goes without saying. You don't do it again.
Yeah, but I credit Calgary's defense and their offensive linemen. I mean, they've been great, and their special teams. I mean, everything's come together, and they've had the most injuries probably in the last 3 years out of any team. So
okay, fair enough.
You know,
how about you, Mr. Jones? Me and Mr. Jones.
I'm going to agree with Kelly pretty much straight across the board on this. Levi Mitchell is the best of the bunch this year of all the young guys. He's definitely shown the best out of all of them. Calgary has not shown much offense. They have not dominated in any game, with the exception possibly of the Montreal game in the beginning. The Hamilton game was a joke at 10-7. It was almost a hockey game.
There you go.
It was they have not been a dominant force the last few games. So, you know, I'm not sold on him as a quarterback, but he so far has shown the best tool set out of all of them. And, yeah, Schmitty, I've heard the same thing, that Tate's being traded. So,
Montreal the best candidate?
At this point in time, that's what I've heard.
Montreal is what you've heard? Or just
yeah.
Been, that's where I think he, if he's going anywhere in the East, it'll be there. Because if he came to Toronto, that'd be one heck of a surprise. That'd be one heck of a surprise if he came to Toronto.
He's not needed in Hamilton. He's not needed in Ottawa. He's not needed in Toronto. It's up to Montreal and Hamilton, and I don't think Hamilton's going to open that door. They're Montreal, for some reason, is just not happy with Troy Smith.
I don't
think
understand
wrong,
it.
But.
Me too. I just don't think they've used him properly myself. I don't think they've used him properly. You hear all these nice things about him that he's anyway, he's another guy we're going to talk about. Okay, let's go over to Tammy. Let's go over to Tammy. Tammy, what do you think of Levi Mitchell?
He's amazing. I think so. He's, what has he won, 7 straight games now?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he ties the Stampeders record of Garcia, Jeff Garcia.
Right. And he also learned to be quarterback Jeff Garcia. Don't forget, went to his school.
I can't remember. Have they blown out anybody?
No. The issue here so far, you know, the biggest thing that we can say is that the offense has not been as impressive for Calgary as the defense has. They won games more on virtue, on their defensive virtue, not their offensive virtue. So
I think he's got the top efficiency rating out of any quarterback in the CFL.
There you go. He's done a lot with very little.
Yeah.
You know, he's done a lot with very little. And, you know, with no running game, you know, and when you play against Calgary right now, they've done so well when you consider everybody knows they're going to throw. And yet he finds a way to find the receivers and to score some points. And, of course, then he has parity. I mean, you know, get some yardage, get on the other side of the field and, boom, field goal. So, yeah, there's some, you know.
I think he could be like Lule status someday.
Yeah, he could very well be. I mean, he's another Texas quarterback. The CFL loves Texans. They love Texas quarterbacks. And he's another one. Let's go over to Mike Townsend. Mike, Bo Levi Mitchell. You know, and now you hear that Tate's going to get traded. Your boy Smith could end up losing the job to Tate. But let's talk about Bo Levi Mitchell, and then we can talk about that trade. We can talk about the speculation.
Yeah, we'll talk about Troy Smith later. But Bo Levi Mitchell, he's been playing great, and he's the best right now. But it's only, what, 4 games? Still got a lot of football
to play. Well, yeah, 4 for him. Yeah, 4 for him.
Yeah, we still got a lot of football to play. And, you know, like I said, he's the best of the best. I agree with everybody. But the thing about it is, you're right, he's a Texas boy, and the CFL loves the Texans. And all I got to say on that, just lock him up with a nice contract before he go to the Dallas Cowboys.
There you go. You think he's ready to go to the NFL? You think he could go there?
Jimmy, the guy named name, the owner down in Dallas.
Jimmy Jones?
Jerry Jones loves his Texas quarterbacks also.
Yeah, and you know, he's pretty loyal to quarterbacks too. So, you know, sometimes
yes, he is.
To a fault.
Right. So
we'll
lock
see.
Him up to a contract if you want to keep a good quarterback in Calgary for a year. Because if we don't, he's going to Dallas. Mark my words.
All right, so let's talk about Troy Smith. And now we heard from two people now that, in fact, they've heard that the word is out that that Drew Tate may end up going to Montreal. It sounds like he definitely will be traded. And it seems that he'll be going to the East. And by process of elimination, I agree with what's been said, and that is that the only destination I see it being is Montreal, unless Ricky Ray's hurt and we don't know it, which is something to think about too, you know. Now, that just says, are they happy with Jarrett Harris and Gale, Richie Gale, you know, in Toronto? But has Troy Smith's stock dropped that drastically over the off season and in the first 5 games of the year for Montreal to have lost any faith in him? I mean, it's not about his attitude. Everybody talks about how great an attitude he has, how gung-ho a team player he is.
You know what, Frank? For the most part, it's not Troy Smith's fault. I'm going to tell you exactly who it is. I'm not putting all the blame on him. I'm going to put some of the blame. But it has something to do with your offensive coordinator and your head coach not playing to their quarterback's strength. They're trying to make him a pocket passer, which he is not. He's a scrambler. He plays with his legs. He throws on the motion. He got to come out of the pocket to throw the long ball, and that's where his strength is at. Quit keeping him in the pocket, trying to make him a pocket passer, which he is not. Let him play his strengths, and Montreal will be fine.
Quit now, can you imagine
something that he's not?
Here's a nightmare I want to put in your face. Are you ready for the nightmare?
Yeah.
Okay, here's the nightmare. They trade Drew Tate for Troy Smith.
Boy.
Are you okay? Can you imagine that insane move? I mean, can you imagine if that's what they do?
If they do, Montreal must don't want to win no games. So all they got to do is take it for somebody to come across the line, come to the middle, and crack Drew Tate, and that's it. Then what you're going to have?
You might as well just
bench Troy Smith and put in Tanner Marsh. Come on now.
That's right. That's right. And that's exactly what I'm thinking is why would you trade for Tate, a guy who hasn't been able to play consecutive – well, he's played a couple of consecutive games, but I know – you know what I mean. You know, he's been injury-prone, you know. But, mm-hmm. Hey, whatever. I think Troy Smith deserves a better chance. I'm disappointed that he's not getting the chance he needs in Montreal. It doesn't look like he's getting a chance. And I think the system's making him look worse than he is. How about you?
It's the system. It's the system, Frank.
Gotcha.
That's all it is.
Okay. Tammy, what do you think?
I think that he hasn't been given a chance either, and I think that, I don't know, I think the problem is Higgins.
Yeah, you think the coaching doesn't agree with Smith's style that he needs to play, like Mike is saying?
Either vice versa, they don't agree with him, you know.
You're not hearing any stuff. Christopher,
no, I
you
know,
heard...
but I get that feeling when I see him
playing.
Yeah, I hear and you. You know, I can't back that up, but it just, I don't
well,
think he's getting
opinion.
A chance either.
Yep.
Saskatchewan, or Willie was second in Saskatchewan. He comes to Winnipeg and he's doing much better. I think he should get to go to a team where they're going to, you know, have some faith in him.
Use
I think
right.
he should go a long way.
Okay, thank you.
He's a Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, he's a Heisman Trophy winner. You're right. How about you, Christopher? Sorry, Tammy.
I think Montreal is blowing itself up.
It sure looks that way.
The problem isn't so much with Tom Higgins, in my opinion, because I actually like Tom. The problem is Ryan Dinwiddie as the OC. The man has lost the room. He's in the dressing room insulting players. He's calling them out. He's doing he's showing his team absolutely no respect. And if you read a lot of the articles that are available out on the Montreal Gazette and a few other things, and, yeah, I do have the luxury of reading in French, but there's a lot of things that are coming down really poorly about him in Montreal. And I think that has a lot to do with what happened today when they brought in Don Matthews and Turk Schoenert. I'm sorry, I probably butchered his name.
Yeah,
but
you did.
I'm really impressed with Turk coming in, but Don Matthews, that's just a waste of effort. That's just
well,
going to cause
Well, I think that's a
grief.
Smoke screen. I think that's a smoke screen. I think he's a smoke screen. Because
well, Turk is a great quarterback coach, and if Troy Smith is going to make it, Turk's going to be able to turn it around for him. But they got to get Ryan Dinwiddie out of there. The guy's a cancer.
Well, okay, so he's not communicating well with the rest of the offensive players, is what you're saying.
I think he's disrespecting them.
Okay.
From
okay,
everything
Chris.
I've read, he is just absolutely showing no respect for anybody, and nobody has respect for him.
Point made. Okay, we'll move on now to our friend Mr. Schmidt. What do you think of Mr. Smith?
Not too good. He's athletic. He's a good quarterback, but just like Christopher said, there's just
something that's wrong with all the players getting together and being on the same page, right? And it's just something's just missing. Troy Smith is missing 10 yards over the head of some football player or whatever sort of thing. Like I seen that in the Calgary game in the first game. That was just brutal by him. It was just like there was no reason for that. But I can understand, you know, that's the first game of the season. Okay, then you get the second game, third game, fourth game. How many games? How many games do you give them?
Well, you said five.
I don't.
At the beginning of this year, your big number is five, right? So
yes, get rid of them, period. Plain and simple.
So then they trade for one of your guys, Tate, and they release him.
Well, not,
and he's going to turn up somewhere else.
Quarterback, though.
I don't understand. If he gets released by Montreal, there's going to be a bit of a there's going to be a little debate as to where he goes.
Yeah.
He's going to have I happen to think that he like there's Lefevre, Smith. You know. Same thing, you know. He's running around and he's doing okay in Hamilton with a team that you know that looked pretty horrible for the longest time. You know, I mean, a quarterback has to be able to play to his strengths. I just don't think he's playing to them. I don't think they're using him the way he should. Thanks, Storm. How about you, Mr. Bruce John Inch? Do you have a comment on Mr. Smith, Troy Smith?
No, not really. Thanks.
Okay, we'll go to Kelly. Kelly, Troy Smith. Looked a lot better last year, looked great in the semifinal, the playoff game against Hamilton in Guelph. I don't know what happens. The off season comes, he has more time to get warm and fuzzy with the offense, with the offensive system, and he seems to have, you know, stepped backwards as opposed to improve.
I think, you know, some of the guys have hinted at some problems with the coaching and stuff like that, and I think that's a big factor. But, you know, there was that article on CFL.ca about patience and Smith, and they compared him to some pretty awesome names that we all know, some of us love in the CFL, and his numbers really aren't terrible. I mean, he definitely deserves a look down the road from be it Montreal or anybody. One thing that I have to say at this point, as we've been talking about it related to Troy Smith, is I do not believe that Drew Tate will be traded to Montreal. I believe the more likely scenario, and I do not know, but I believe the more likely scenario is to go to Toronto and be a backup to Ricky Ray, where Trevor Harris actually, I believe, has a strained calf. He was hurt on the last play of the Rider game, and nobody made much of it because you know how fast TSN cuts away to Sports Center right at the end of a game. I have heard that he bruised his calf, and, I also think there's reason to believe that after seeing Mazzoli's performance and with Kolaros on the shelf for 6 weeks, I think there's reason for Hamilton to need. But one thing that I will say about Montreal is they've got the receivers to trade Calgary, and that's kind of what Calgary needs right now with some of their guys on the shelf and suspended. So Smith is more than capable. I agree that he isn't a pocket passer. I wish he had a little more freedom in that offense. Not too sure what Montreal was ever thinking hiring Ryan Dinwiddie. I agree with Christopher Jones there. I think he's a little bit of, it's one of these cases where he's too fresh off the field. He's just not ready to be a coach. I don't think he's a bad guy or anything, but he's done some bad things there.
And that could cause a quarterback and an offense to sputter a little bit.
For sure.
I gotcha.
Absolutely.
Makes sense to me. Okay. We're not going to count. I'm going to open all the mics. I don't think we should count Riley in this group, right? Riley really was a starter last year. He never really was a backup except for being a backup in BC before he was traded. And I think he has too much experience to put him in the – are there any other quarterbacks that I haven't mentioned in anyone's mind that I should mention that were backups that are looking really good? It's about it, right?
Yeah, that's about it. I mean, Kevin Glenn started half the games.
But I don't want to count him. He's too old.
Yeah,
to me, he's a starter, right? He's a starter.
Fair enough.
You know?
Yeah, well, Mazzoli's another guy, but he's on the shelf, so no sense in really getting too far into that.
And we're talking about quarterbacks that have at least, I guess by definition of what we've said, at least had one great game. Mazzoli hasn't had that yet, right?
That's right.
Mazzoli's done, man. Mazzoli's done.
Yeah, he was terrible.
He was.
You know,
when they get the guy acclimated in the CFL real good, McGee, y'all watch out for him.
Yeah.
Former Dallas Cowboys.
Now, all right, so that covers our quarterback, that covers our coaches, and now we got 45 minutes left, and I think we just want to make sure that we get to talk about the games that are coming up. And we've got some interesting matchups. We'll start with Winnipeg and Hamilton. Now, both these teams will have young bucks at quarterback. The hope is, Lefevre gets to play against Winnipeg and, of course, Drew Willey. This game, for me, won't be one that's, the big teams of the league. But I happen to think where Hamilton's at right now and where Winnipeg's at right now, these guys are meeting at a very crucial time. And I think we've explained already that, in fact, because the East plays the West so many times because of the unbalanced schedule and because of the nine teams, the West could defeat the East directly to make the playoffs. They don't need to, it isn't like the East is playing each other and getting a lot of free points that much. The difference isn't that much between the schedules of all the teams, in my opinion. There are some differences, but it's not enough to be an issue. So this game's crucial, don't you think, between Winnipeg and Hamilton? And I'll start by suggesting that this might be a game that I think is going to be close to a tie, and it will be decided in the final seconds of the game. And I think it'll be a run in for a touchdown by Lefevre, and he's going to win it for them by maybe 3 points. I'm going Hamilton by 3 over Winnipeg. We'll go to you now. We finished with Kelly. We'll start with Kelly again, and I happen to think that Hamilton is working its way back.
Yeah, they are. They seem to really solidified the offensive line last week, and that was the big undoing against Saskatchewan in week one. Still showed some rust through weeks two and three, so week four, because they had a bye in week three. I don't know. I really having a tough time picking Hamilton. I got to admit, my CFL is pool. I got Winnipeg in that one, and I think the edge is really going to be special teams. I see the Winnipeg special teams units, both kicking and punt and kick returns, just a little bit of an edge over Hamilton right now. And I think that'll be the difference in this one.
It's all about give and take, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Excuse me. Now you, that is cold. Bruce, up to you. Oh, buddy, here.
Who are you picking to win it, Kelly?
He said he had a hard time picking Hamilton. He's going to make Winnipeg, but he can
say
it in his own words.
Winnipeg by 3 or 5.
So you did pick Winnipeg, okay. I'm picking Hamilton by 10.
And what are you basing on, my friend?
Nothing really. We're just a better team. I don't know. What am I basing it on? We've showed improvement every game. I know Winnipeg's awesome out west, but I just think that Drew Willey's going to have a bad game for once. I'm hoping anyway.
There you go.
That's all I can do, buddy.
There you go.
That's all I can do,
man.
Any given Sunday, as in this case, any given Thursday.
There you go.
But,
okay, dude, how about you, Mr. Schmidt? Winnipeg Hamilton.
I'm going with Lefevre because I really do believe him. I know it's only one game, so don't get your hopes up. I'm just going with a gut feeling. They're two good quarterbacks, but I just believe Hamilton's going to win, and they're going to win 31-17.
By two touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fair enough. Tammy, how do you think this one's going to turn out?
Not to suggest there's any bias.
Well, I think I'm afraid I'm going to jinx it. Winnipeg by 10. That's because Winnipeg and Hamilton always have pretty interesting games. They have a history of pretty interesting games. But I think the Bomber organization is going to be well on top of Mr. Lefevre's running.
All right. You think they'll have an answer to that?
Yeah, I do, because they have Etcheverry's defense is so
aggressive,
confusing, that he changes it up all the time. I think that they're going to be able to get through and catch him.
Fair enough.
I think he's going to have to be running a lot more than he's ever ran.
Okay. Mr. Townsend, your turn.
Well, guys, I'm going to tell you something. You can't stop the flavor of Lefevre. He's a roll, guys. 32-17.
So Hamilton wins it.
Yep, Hamilton. And can't forget the defense. Brett Butler going to have a pick.
Oh, nice prediction.
Oh, yeah.
He looked good in the last game.
Yes, he did.
He looked really good.
That's the reason why they signed him.
There you go. He had his pick last week.
Mm-hmm. And he's going to have one again this week.
It weren't a pick six, but it still was an important pick. I think that was one of the key plays of the game. How about you, Christopher?
Craig Butler is injured and will not be playing in this game.
Oh, jeez.
I posted that earlier today. It's going to go one of two ways. Winnipeg is going to continue to show what they're doing, or we're going to have a turnaround by both teams where Winnipeg tanks and Hamilton comes up with a convincing victory. At this point in time, I'm pulling for Winnipeg for no other reason than I think they have better tools at this point in time.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Fair enough. Okay. All right. So that's our first game of the week. And, of course, the next one, the Toronto Argonauts and the Montreal Alouettes. These are two teams that have a deep and a deep-seated dislike for each other. When the East wins Grey Cups, these guys, have been there, and they're the most recent Grey Cup winners in the East. Hamilton hoped to join that group last year. Didn't work out for them. They could still do it this year. But for now, Toronto and Montreal are two teams in the same boat. Isn't it safe to say, Christopher, that these are two teams that, for different reasons, have unestablished themselves this year?
Without question. I mean,
more than any other teams,
playing,
I think they've done the most. They've done the most to unestablish themselves, if that's the word.
Well, they're the two. Well, I'd like to say they're the two most underperforming teams, but Hamilton's right up there with them.
Well, I think it's. But how about last week, Hamilton? I think they've put themselves a little bit ahead of these two.
They showed something. Toronto and Montreal are not showing anything.
No.
Totally disappointed with them. I expected both of them. Well, I expected Montreal to do a lot better. I was always calling for Toronto to miss the playoffs this year in the East. Montreal coming in a tight second to Hamilton. I am so wrong on all of those things. Right now, I think Ottawa's going to win the division. They're such underperforming teams, and it's like, how do you pick the best of the worst here to win? I'm calling Toronto. Only because Montreal is imploding.
And you know what? I have to say the same thing. I'm picking Toronto only because I don't think Montreal's hit bottom yet. I think Toronto...
No.
I think it's fair to say that... And they're not making excuses, injury excuses, and good for them. And good for them. But if they did, I don't think anybody would argue the point. I mean, And they're being hit in one area, and that in football is really
who,
tough.
Who
you
doesn't
know, get
have
it,
injuries right now?
Yeah, but
I mean,
not
Hamilton
not
is decimated. Calgary is decimated. BC is hurting. Toronto's hurting. We're all hurting with injuries right now. So for one, any one team says this is the worst injuries anybody's had for years.
Well,
it's bull. It's shit.
Who comparable? Well, okay, listen, I'm not going to get into that debate. Again,
what,
I repeat.
Owens
they're not complaining.
How,
they're not
how about
complaining.
Lule
they're
and
not
Caleros.
Complaining.
Cornish. You know, we're talking about some of the premier marquee players in the league that are
yeah.
no longer
Chad Owens.
Playing.
Chad Owens.
And Chad Owens, Jury, right? I mean,
yeah,
we just
Owens
got Arsenal
and
back and Marco Iannucci,
and Jay Barnes.
And we just lost our kicker.
Yeah.
Every team has lost copious amounts of players right now, so anybody using the injury excuse is lame.
Well, they're not using it. I'm just saying if they did, just as far as injuries are concerned, if you want to look in the big picture, yeah, okay, we can have a debate. But I'm just saying from a narrow perspective of looking within, they're not making that excuse. But if they did, they are having a bit of difficulty. Their problem is their offense, and their offense has been picked on really good by the injury bug. And that's fine. It's fine that everybody else has injuries to cope with. But regardless, anyway, back to the point. I'm going to say Toronto by 14. Montreal, they may very well.
I don't know if there's going to be 14 points scored in this game.
No, I think there will. I think there will. I think the biggest problem is that these two teams are in a spiral, and I just happen to think that Montreal's is in a wider spiral, if you will.
It's quicker.
It's moving a lot faster.
Moving like a freight train.
Wow. You know, and the Argos right now, they're kind of in limbo with the way things are. And we'll see. I have faith in Ray. And, of course, I'm an Argo fan, as I said about the other people who are, you know, talking about their teams. I have faith in them. I think they'll be okay. They'll beat Montreal. And then we'll go from there. Okay, so Toronto-Montreal – Mike Townsend, what do you think?
I'm going with Old Faithful, Montreal, 28-17. Trey Smith is going to have a good game. Chad Ochocinco, another touchdown. Montreal defense
okay.
is going to rip them apart.
Well, I'm never going to forgive you for that pick. How about you, Tammy?
I think Montreal by three. I think it's going to be a really defensive game, and I think my turnovers might decide the outcome.
Yeah, especially if Christopher's right, and I agree with him. It's not going to be a 45-40 score.
No,
so
neither
a turnover
offense.
The turnover will be significant if it happens. The give and take is going to be a big issue.
Yeah,
right.
It's that's what I think.
Okay, thank you, Tammy. How about you, Mr. Schmidt?
After this game, Troy Smith will be out because Montreal is going to lose, even though that's my second favorite team. But Toronto, Ricky Ray, he's gonna light it up. I'm not saying big time, but I picked 24 for Toronto and 13 for Montreal, and it even could go higher for Toronto.
Wow.
And Troy Smith, after this game, he might not play another game in Montreal.
Wow.
Plain and simple.
Okay. All right. Good call. Or a call. How about you, Mr. Inch?
I'm going to say 2017 Montreal. And just one more note on the Ticat game. We also have Simone Lawrence and Rico Willie back in our defense this week.
That's going to help.
Absolutely. But, yeah, I think it's going to be 2017 Montreal. I think Mike's right. I think Ocho Rio, whatever his name is, he'll get another touchdown. He'll get another touchdown, but I don't think he'll hug the ref this time.
There you go. the only thing funnier than somebody who says, what's the phone number for 911, is what number is Ocho Cinco? Okay, Kelly Bale.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to be Toronto.
you know, one thing I try to do is if I am, you know, close to the end of the queue, listen to the guys in the East, because you guys are the guys with the pulse on what's going on over there. And I'm actually pretty shocked to hear the Montreal coming out of a few guys. I think Toronto's going to roll. I see them with a better running attack. I don't think they have the best running back in the game. I think Whitaker is the best running back in the game. But I honestly believe Toronto's ground game as a whole is greater than Toronto's. That includes the offensive line. Montreal is reeling right now, and I think Toronto's catching them at the best time possible. I think Toronto 27, Montreal a collection of field goals, possibly 15 points.
You don't think they'll get a major?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I said my score about the Argos, so I guess now we go to your team, Kelly. They're in Ottawa,
yep,
country. Another, you know, when you look, you know, you can buy tickets to the game in Hamilton, you can buy tickets to the game in Montreal, you can buy tickets to the game in Calgary, but you can't buy tickets to the game in Ottawa for Saskatchewan.
It's going to be awesome. I mean, I have a few friends in the ORV, Ottawa River Valley, and these guys are super pumped for this game. I think there's going to be a lot of green in the stands. I think the Riders are going to come out on top. Saw some things last week that really have convinced me that we're back on track. I think Will Ford's going to have another big game. I think they'll probably get the ball into his hand a little more, and he might end up with a few less yards, a week on film. I really think the score could get pretty high in this game. I think Ottawa's got a fairly high-powered offensive attack this week. Marcus Henry had a great game last week, and I think Burris always puts up some decent numbers. I could see the score being 35 to maybe 28, somewhere around there, so maybe a touchdown victory for Saskatchewan.
There you go. I'll call this one at the end. How about you, Mr. Inch? How about you, Mr. Schmidt, while Mr. Inch finds his mic?
Sorry about that.
No, don't worry. Go right after Schmidt. Just hang on. Go ahead, Schmitty.
Yeah, that was a tough one because I picked Ottawa to finish first in the East at the beginning of the season. But, I got to go for Saskatchewan. I love Burris, but Ottawa's at home, but I just don't see it happening. Saskatchewan 30, Ottawa 19.
Okay. All right, Mr. Inch.
I'm going to pick Saskatchewan, too, also by a touchdown. Because I think they're a better team, and... it's going to be tough, though, going into Ottawa. Like you said, sold-out crowd and all that. They're going to be behind Ottawa again. But I think Saskatchewan will come out victorious.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how about you, Mr. Schmidt? Well, I should turn... No, I did you, Mr. Schmidt. I apologize. I mean Tammy.
I think Saskatchewan by 14. I think... they're pumped right now, Saskatchewan. They came off a couple bad games, and then they won. Sorry, Frank, so horribly last weekend. So they did so well. I think they're, I don't think it matters that they're going into Ottawa.
You don't?
And that's unfortunate. I'd like to see Ottawa win, but I really don't think that's going to happen.
No, huh? Okay,
no.
Well, you know what? Ottawa is the expansion team. Saskatchewan is the team that seems to have found themselves. We're just going to find out whether that's true or not. That's all. That's all that we're talking about, right?
Yeah, I don't necessarily think Saskatchewan's going to go to the Grey Cup, but I don't think it's going to be a hard game for them. They have their offense seems very strong.
I think you're reserving the Grey Cup trip for Winnipeg, maybe. That's possible.
Well,
I love being the underdog.
But it's not too bad to make it to the Grey Cup.
Well, what I think would be horrible is a Western team going to the East in the playoffs and then a Western team winning, and we have a Western Grey Cup. I think that would be not a good thing at all for the CFL.
Well, it would be a Western, not-so-Western Grey Cup.
If Winnipeg was in it?
Yeah, if Winnipeg wins it and BC's in it, it'll be a semi-Western, a Central versus a West. But, you know, it is what it is. I mean, there, if you're listening to the football games, I don't know the name of the announcer, but he wants to abolish East-West and just go top 9 teams, top 6
teams.
Yeah,
I read that, yeah.
You know, so, you know,
but that cuts half the country out if that happens, you know. They don't have, like I read somewhere that, you know, that's the one day Canada pulls together, you know. And I think it would be bad.
I wouldn't disagree, but one thing I do know and notice is that to support that theory, it's funny, but there are a lot of teams when their teams don't make it to the Grey Cup that cheer for the opposite side of the country. Like
yeah.
You won't find a Hamilton fan rooting for the Argos when they're in the Grey Cup, and you won't find a Calgary fan rooting for Edmonton if they're in the Grey Cup.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Done it
so
many times.
And that's something we'd lose too, right? And, you know, along the lines of what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Mike. How about you? How do you feel?
I'm going to go say it like this. Ottawa is going to pull this one off by 2 touchdowns. Marcus Henry, 2 touchdowns. Siobhan Walker, 2 touchdowns, over 100 yards. Will Ford, 2 forced fumbles, 2 yards on the ground.
Wow. We're talking a heck of an offensive game.
Yeah, the offense is not a problem. I mean, Ottawa's clicking. Their offense is not a problem. They're going to be pumped up for this game because they want to dethrone the Riders. And Henry Burns is going to have one of the best games of the season.
Well, I mean, the way the schedule is working for them, I mean, it's perfect for them. What team do they want
right.
to meet first? Of course, Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And what team
yep.
do you want to meet next? Of course, the Grey Cup champ, you know?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Then they
Henry
all,
Burns
and then,
is going to put on the clinic.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not 100% sold on the receivers yet. They've made a couple of great catches, one in particular that cost the Argos the game late. You know, so they do have the possibility. but I happen to think that Drew Willey and their offense is a perfect match for Ottawa. I don't think that Ottawa has the defensive backfield to handle what Saskatchewan has. I think they've got some interesting tools in the running game with Will Ford and Mr. Dreadlocks, who is just amazing. And Ottawa fans are going to get a real treat watching an amazing receiver. And I'm talking about Taj Smith. So, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're going to see some great players on the field. But I'm going to pick Ottawa, too, to win. You know, but only because... on strict emotion, you know, I was there, and that fan base is very excited about their team, and they're 100% supportive, and they've done a masterful job of supporting their team, and they're in it. It's like they never left the CFL, and I think that's a great advantage for Ottawa. And you know, the players
the
feel it.
That's the reason why I'm picking them.
Yeah,
that's
and the players feel it, right?
The same way.
The players
yes, sir.
Feel it. I think they do. How about you, Mr. Jones, Christopher?
This is a tough game to call. Siobhan Walker and Will Ford going head-to-head, I think I would give it to Walker. Ottawa has a better offense. They're a better team built overall. They're lacking in their defense, just like you said, Frank. I just don't think they're not going to come to play against Saskatchewan offense. I'm picking Saskatchewan on this one. The Riders are going to take it.
All right, and was that Mike I called? Mike from Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh.
I'm trying to remember who the 717 area code is. Well, maybe I've got his answering machine. Speak up if I've got your mic up. Well, maybe I've got Mike's answering machine. I called him when he got dropped. So we're probably talking to his answering machine. I'll take his mic off and let him listen to the rest of the show on his answering machine. Well, that concludes our wonderful suggestion on who's going to win. We have some time left over. I'll open it to the floor. I'll turn on all the mics, and I'll start with Bruce. Kelly left. That's who disappeared. Kelly got dropped. That's who got dropped. I thought it was the other number, but it doesn't show that he got dropped.
He got traded.
Yeah, he got traded after the deadline.
Man.
Anybody getting messages?
Might be me, Frank.
No, you guys are all in here. I don't have Kelly. That's who it is.
Frank, you forgot BC Calgary.
Exactly.
Oh, did I? Did you think it was an accident?
I think so, sure. Man, I didn't get to talk on that game, did you?
Well, I didn't think anybody wanted to talk about that game.
No, okay, let's move on to something
you're
else.
Funny.
Man.
You're funny, Frank. You're funny.
Okay. No, all kidding aside, I got thrown off by Kelly's number didn't show that it went off. It was actually Mike from Pittsburgh that showed up. And I'm not getting a message from Kelly saying that he wants back in. So I don't know whether he voluntarily left or I don't know what to say on that score. Okay. Well, I'm going to assume that he left voluntarily because I'm not hearing back from him that he should get back in. No, let's – all kidding aside, okay, I was just having fun with you guys, and I apologize. I was wondering if anybody – I was going to go, okay, they're going to let it go. All right. Okay, we've got the fourth and final game.
How can we argue with you? You've turned off our mics.
Right.
But I turned them all on again.
How dare you?
And as soon as you turned on my mic, I brought it to your attention. You skipped right over BC Calgary and went to Saskatchewan, Ottawa, and I went, what the hell? You're not going through order here, Frank. You did that okay. You're saving the best to last. Okay, I'm good with that. And then you just ignored it completely.
All right, all kidding aside, let's giddy up and give BC and Calgary our props as far as who he thinks is going to win. So I guess
Storm will go last.
Storm wants to go last? Okay, so that means
I want to go last.
Christopher Jones, you're up first.
Well, you want me to come up first?
You
want to
go? You want to go second last?
No. Well, sure. Okay.
You want to go second last? Okay. So then we'll go to Mike. Hang on. I know why you want to go last because it's your team, and I don't blame you. So BC's in Calgary. This is an interesting matchup. BC's got something to prove.
This is going to be a very good game. I'm picking BC 35-28 over Calgary, and I'm picking Kevin Glenn to carve Calgary up like a Thanksgiving turkey. Manny Arsenault, 3 touchdowns.
Okay. All right. I'll save mine for just before the other two dudes. So we'll go now to the dudette, and Tammy.
Well, I think it's going to be Calgary by 14 because I don't think Kevin Glenn is going to do any better than he has. Of course, I'm not a Kevin Glenn fan, but I think it depends how many interceptions he throws.
Glenn. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think that's becoming all too commonplace for him this year. And I'm not sure why. He's not as consistent as he was before. And I just think they don't have a great passing game, but they have a better, Arsenault's not going to get 3 touchdowns, Mike.
He's trying to be nice. He's trying to be nice to Christopher.
Well, you know, what problem could Calgary have with them? The Bombers didn't. Moving on.
There you go. How about you there, Mr. Bruce John Inch?
Yeah, I'm going to pick Calgary 2 by 10. Like I said last week, Kevin Glenn, depends what Kevin Glenn shows up, right? Well, last week, you're not so good Kevin Glenn showed up.
Showed up, yeah, but, yeah, that's so true.
It was the same when
that.
He played for us, man. It depends what Kevin Glenn showed up, man. Is it going to be interception Glenn or is it going to be touchdown Glenn?
But, there you go.
You know, but, yeah, I'm going to go with Calgary by 10.
I'm going to go with Calgary only because of their defense. I disagree. I think the opposite's going to happen. I don't agree with Mike. I don't think Kevin Glenn's going to pick Calgary apart. I think Calgary's going to pick him apart. This is going to be the other Glenn, the one that throws interceptions. I just think the defense that that Calgary's going to put up against their quarterback is going to be better than the defense that BC puts up against Bo Levi Mitchell. And I think it's going to be a lot closer game. It's going to be a high-scoring affair, but it's going to be close. And I think the winning margin is going to be less than 4 points, maybe 3 points, I think. So now we'll give it over to Chris Jones, Christopher Jones. Christopher?
Defensive struggle. This is where BC's defense is going to prove that they're better than Calgary's defense in this league and stop all these little whiny people that say that Calgary's so awesome. All along I have said that Kevin Glenn needs to keep BC at 500 football until Lulee comes back. Lulee is coming back off his sixth game. Glenn needs to win one more game to have us at 500. He's going to take Calgary out. It's going to be a good Glenn. He's going to come in, and he's going to play football. Marco Iannuzzi is back. Manny Arsenault is back and playing awesome. Andrew Harris is just going to chew up the field.
Well, he
so,
better
you know,
because,
we got Tim.
We saw what happened when he didn't.
Yeah, we did. I think the O-line is finally coming together. Last week was just a brain fart on the entire team. In fact, the entire team didn't show up, and I don't believe that is going to happen this game, not from talking to the players that we have. They are up for this game, and they're going to go into Cowtown and lay little cow patties all over the place.
There you go. Okay, how about you there, Mr. Schmidt? Schmidt, your pick.
Well, you know, first of all, it's going to be Calgary. Second of all, they're going to get the ball to Joe West. Third of all, Martel Mellett is playing. I think Chris Jones said that he was coming to Calgary. He's going to rack up over 100 yards in rushing. And third of all, you're at home, which doesn't mean anything in the CFL anymore. But no, Calgary's defense is going to keep BC to four field goals, and there's no way. I'd say Charleston Hughes will get about four sacks somewhere on there.
Whoa!
And it's
big game
it's
for him.
Because Kevin Glenn is like, what is he, 38, 39, somewhere on there? He's not going to able to stop Calgary's defense. Calgary's got the best defense in the league, period. And they'll show it, and my call is 36-12 Calgary.
Okay. Well, I think everybody's picks have been fantastic. And I happen to think that the fun part really only begins once the game starts. And this puts us at our point of the show where we have just over around 13 minutes left in the program. Which means we have some time to open up the discussion to something or other. Anything raw on somebody's craw that they'd like to discuss?
Sure, I'll throw out Martel Mellett in there.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, too.
The kid is amazing, but, you know, coming back from a ruptured Achilles tendon, I have done that. And, you know, I understand he's rehabbing it probably a lot better than I ever did, but I'll tell you, I don't walk the same. And there's no way that he is going to be making the cuts that he used to do when he played for BC when he went down to the NFL. So I don't think Martel Mallett is going to be the awesome expectations that everybody thinks that he's going to be coming into Cowtown.
Well, he played for Hamilton.
Like
too,
you
man.
Say, they have better doctors than what you had, sort of thing, right? And no pun intended, right? But they do, right? So, you know, it's give a guy a chance, see what happens, right?
Oh, I agree. I'm stoked about it. I like to see him play. He was exciting.
Yeah,
I mean, he
was
lit it up
when he was with Hamilton too.
And the fact remains, you know, whether he's healthy enough or not, one has to believe that Calgary has reason to believe to start him. He must have done something to indicate that he's healthy enough to play. But, you know, both things can be true, right? He may not be able to make the cuts he used to, but, you know, it's relative to how good is he in total. Never mind what he's lost, but how good is he in total? And that's what we're going to see, whether he is, you know, the total running back and he's able to do what...
Better than what
Frank,
Calgary
has. To do with the,
I mean, they've lost Cornish. They have nothing else that's really there.
Has a
right.
lot to do
well,
with the offensive line, too, though, right? You know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, every team has got to play with every player on the same page, and if you don't, you're going to lose.
Yeah, but, you know, there is what each player brings to the table, right? There is what they bring. And you know, Christopher just said, well, they don't have anything much better than that, which could be true, right? But, again, I repeat, you know, he may not be able to do what he used to do, but how much, how little, or how much has he lost? Is it a little? Is it a lot? I would suggest that Calgary feels that he hasn't lost enough for him not to be given a chance. And that probably has something to do with the fact that they're desperate. But, you know, I don't even know if I should say desperate. I mean, how easy was it for Saskatchewan to go through the guys? You know, they went through an all-star team of running backs before they settled on Ford. And we don't know that they're settled on Ford yet.
No,
because Sheets will be coming back.
There you go. I mean, you know, running backs aren't exactly hard to find. So
funny league.
No, they're not. And if Sheets come back and Will Ford is playing good, you just, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
No, exactly. I'm saying that same thing about Calais and Lefevre, man. If it's not broke, don't fix it. If Lefevre wins this one and gets the August 16th game under his belt and Zach comes back and he wants to play Labor Day, well, too bad. Leave Lefevre
exactly.
in. You know?
Exactly. Yep, you go with the who has the hot hand.
Exactly.
And I know Sheets is the all-time popular most running back in Saskatchewan. But if Will Ford is playing out his mind and Saskatchewan is winning behind Will Ford, do not mess it up because you can mess up the chemistry just like that.
But I disagree with that because I know Saskatchewan, they'll if Sheets comes back, which I believe he will 95%, if he comes back, he'll replace anybody that's hot anyways in Saskatchewan. Guaranteed.
And Will Ford is playing good. I don't think they're going to break it. If it ain't broken,
I know. Well, you know what?
They will not
hesitate
putting Sheets back
in. I have a lot of Saskatchewan family in Saskatchewan, and I tell you, I mean, a lot of Saskatchewan fans are peed off because Sheets left. And I tell you, if he comes back, no matter who's in front of him, Sheets will be the starter.
Plain yeah, I agree.
Well, you know what? I do agree on the point that he might be the starter, but... You know, don't get mad at Sheets because he left. I mean, hey.
No, absolutely
He's going to chase the money. And if Sheets get released, to be honest with you guys, if Sheets get released from the Raiders, believe me, it's a couple of more teams out here in the NFL that have interest in Sheets, not just the Raiders.
Yeah, he's
He is in tough with the Raiders. If he does play in the NFL, I don't think it will be with the Raiders. I think it'll be with the next team that he tries out for or the next team after that because I just don't think that he's a great guy, but, you know, they've got two specific talents in Oakland that, you know, well, that can do his job. That can do his job
but
better than
the
he
Raiders
can
have
people.
Always said that Sheets is not there to be a running back. He's there to be a kick returner. So if he starts on special teams, he's staying there for the money.
Yes, he is. Agreed.
So, I mean, that's the point. He's not there to be a running back. Yeah, they've got lots of talent running back. It's all over the place. But he's there to be a kick returner.
Yep. He's going to be third on the depth chart as far as running back, though. So he's
that's
gonna
right.
A kick returner.
He won't be at the top of the list.
Nobody expects him to.
Yep. But he's still going to make a boatload of money as a kick returner.
Yes,
oh,
he will.
Hell yeah.
Right? So,
look at Chris Williams, the dollar... Man.
Yeah, if he's chasing the dollar, that's what he's going to do, right? You know, he doesn't have to prove that he's a great running back. He did it in the Grey Cup last year.
Yeah, and the only way he's going to carry the ball is if the two in front of him gets hurt. And by the fourth, fifth game, he'll be second on the depth chart because Darian McFadden can't stay healthy.
Say that,
you know.
So, anyways,
and that's why
he's... interrupt there just for 15 seconds and say goodnight to all you peeps and ladies and dudettes, as Frank said. And let's hope we have a good CFL weekend. And when we talk Monday, the Ticats and Montreal will be tied for first place in the East.
And hopefully everybody's team will win, right?
That's right. Ask you, we do that. Yeah.
Well, all right, Boosie, bro. Have a good night, man.
All right, man. Thanks, guys.
Good night.
Always
Bye.
A pleasure. Always a pleasure. Thanks again, Frank.
You're welcome, my friend.
Bye-bye.
That's Bruce John Inch saying adios, amigos. And, you know, I hate to, now that he's gone, I hate to say that he's going to be disappointed. So.
Yeah.
They're going to be tied, They're going to be tied, but not for first.
That's
right, you know,
Frank,
the good news for this week is that all the East teams aren't going to lose.
Well, it could be a tie. Come on now.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, this is one week where all the East teams can't lose.
Yeah, Montreal, Toronto, somebody has to win there.
Somebody has to win. They have to award a win there. Somebody has
well,
to
win.
Well,
they could be a tie.
All kidding.
Have
aside,
that tie.
All kidding aside, it'll
yeah,
be
the
a
last
great
tie
game
was Calgary Scouts.
It will put them in first place, even with a tie, but it'll be tied for first place then.
There you go.
Well, all right, guys, you know what? I'm about to talk about winning play for a quick second. You know, we talked about the success of Drew Willie, but, guys, y'all got to remember something, man, and we haven't touched on this. The emergence of Clarence Denmark.
That's right.
Oh, for sure. For sure, but he's
small
never not been.
I think he's taken it to another level.
Yeah.
I believe if he stays healthy, him and Nick Moore, oh, man, they're going to be like the 1-2 in the CFL, man.
Okay.
Come.
Yep.
Nick Moore is injured and will not be playing in this game.
Oh, wow. He got injured, huh?
Yeah. You guys aren't reading my posts? Come on.
Oh, Chris, I've been busy, man, so I haven't been on reading.
Well, regardless, Nick Moore won't be playing. But the point
Craig Button won't be playing.
Now, how long is Nick Moore not playing?
Nick Moore is the least hurt of the whole bunch here. I'm just flipping through trying to find my article on it, and I'll tell you. He didn't practice today. He didn't practice yesterday. And he's a suspected scratch for tomorrow because he didn't practice today. So they figure they'll just keep him out, where Craig Butler is gone for a while, from what I understand.
Wow.
I'm just trying to find my little talk on it because I said, okay, slot back Nick Moore did not practice on Tuesday and is doubtful to play on Thursday. That leaves Chris Greaves will start.
Okay. Anybody got any information on this guy, Chris Greaves?
No. I haven't seen anything on him. I haven't bothered looking.
Well, I guess we'll find out tomorrow night what this series is about, right?
Yeah.
Well, the way O'Shea coaches, the backups are ready. I don't think he's not going to be Nick Moore. Nick Moore is very good, but actively practicing all the time. So it's just the way he coaches. You have to have that guy prepared, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
What happened to Nick Moore? I didn't hear it.
It doesn't say. I didn't see what it says. It says Craig Butler is out with a damaged foot, and kick returner wide receiver Brandon Banks is out with a leg injury. Both
yeah,
of them will miss
Brandon
the Thursday
Banks
game.
Yeah.
Wow, Brandon Banks is out too? Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
I think you're
going to
see a lot of Clarence Denmark tomorrow, Mike.
Yeah.
They're
yeah,
set at running
that's
back,
too. Clarence Denmark.
You know,
Clarence Denmark
they're set at running back,
the game tomorrow night.
They've got a great backfield. They've got a great running back. I mean, you know, Will Ford's in Saskatchewan for a reason. He's not there because he stinks. You know, he lost his job, and he's a great running back. That just that's how much faith the coach has. You know, it happens sometimes. Anyway, we're out of time. We'll leave it there. And boys and girls, thank you for taking the time to be on the program. I appreciate everyone's contribution. You've been listening to the Candid Frank Live CFL Is Show. And we're on Mondays and Fridays, 10 to 12 Eastern Standard Time. Thanks for tuning in this time. We'll hope to hear from you next time. Thanks. Bye.